The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
This is Bite by Bite. He's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. Of course, they also help to find folks at Feeding America, the national organization, and they're right here in the great state of Alabama, Michael Coleman. Michael, how you doing, brother? Everything good?
I'm doing fantastic, brother. Just glad to be with you.
It's great to have you on again. You have a very interesting thing you want to get into. It's called, what's it now? Feed the, tell me
no,
again.
No, it's called Map the Meal Gap.
Map the Meal Gap. Okay.
Yeah.
I even wrote that down to make sure I had it right, and I still missed it. Map the Meal Gap.
It was just released. We're recording on May 15th, so it was just released today. But every year, Feeding America takes data. Now, this is how long it takes to calculate this data that they do. This data is actually from 2022, so really coming out of COVID. And they operate with data that's 2 years old. And so, you know, we do the census every 10 years and you kind of get an idea. And so what Map the Meal Gap is using public data and stuff to kind of update to see even small shifts in population. And one of the things they do is try to determine who is food insecure, who's battling hunger and food insecurity. And they update every county in the United States because every county in the United States is, number one, has food insecurity. Mm-hmm. There's no county in the United States that does not have individuals who are wrestling with food insecurity. And the second thing is, what it does is it gives us, we look at the map, and we can actually scroll over the counties that we serve, and it'll pop up data, and we can click into it and get more and more data. And it tells us things like, our senior population in this county, how many people are struggling with food insecurity overall, but then it breaks it down. It breaks it down by race. We know statistically that people who are African-American, Hispanic populations, and others will have higher rates of food insecurity than Caucasians. And you could peel that back and you could have a 3-hour discussion on all the reasons that is. But all of that data is very helpful because it gives you a snapshot of what's really behind the scenes. Because when we're looking at a county and just looking at a map, and we could say, oh yeah, they've got 10,000 people in this county.
Mm-hmm.
Really don't know how much help to give them. So this data is regularly updated and annually, it gives us, is the need increasing or is it decreasing? Well, the first year I was here, it was like our 35 counties were like 231,000.
And real quick, is this done every year?
Every year.
Okay.
Yeah. So they update the data every year. And so that's what I'm saying. Once they complete the data and it takes these sources, and then they consolidate all the sources and all that. That's why it takes long. They have to use data that's 2 years old. But what we see, though, is we went from 231,000 food insecure down to 217 last year.
Okay.
And that was because that was using 2021 data, which was where all the money came to help with that. Well, now we've come out of COVID. 2022 was at the end of it. There's not as much funding. There's a little bit of donor fatigue, but also inflation. And so inflation is really just killing some families. And I use this very simple thing, but you know, because I've been there, I've lived this. Husband and wife are working and you're doing everything you can to make ends meet. And you're just one major car accident or major car repair or braces or doctor's visits or broken bone, anything that's just really going to set you back. You don't have any, and you don't have anything to fall back on really. Well, then when inflation comes out, and wait a minute, now it's cost me, every time I fill up my car, it's, you know, it's $5 more. Every time I go to the grocery store, it's $20 more. And then you get towards the end of the month, you're between paychecks. Man, it's just not there. And yet you still have hungry children, hungry seniors, hungry family members. And that's why the food bank is so valuable. But what we're seeing is now we went from 217 up to 256,000 people who are food insecure. And And inflation is believed to be the number one cause of that. So you're talking about tens of thousands of people just in our 35-county area that's now, and all across the state of Alabama, the numbers were elevated. Nobody's numbers in Alabama, and I doubt anybody across the nation's numbers went down.
That sounds like a huge inflation.
Oh, I mean, it's incredibly difficult. And so you're thankful for the data, and you may look at, okay, well, when you start breaking it down, you're like, okay, well, what about our senior population? How much has it increased versus the child population? And the reason you want that is because we have finite amount of resources. So let's say my senior population were to stay stable, mm-hmm. relatively, you know, maybe a small percentage, but I see a couple of percentage points increase in children. That lets me know, hey, I need to focus more of my resources into the children's hunger. And so the information is really critical determining where we're going to dedicate those resources. And but it's great. We use that data for grants, but we really use it to get a realistic picture of what's out there, what the challenges are, and how we inject ourselves and in what way in order to relieve people of hunger.
How do you think ahead, knowing the information you're getting is nearly 2 years old?
So that's a great question. So like when I looked at that last year and I'm like, okay, we saw a decrease, but knowing it was really on 2021, you have to sometimes, and Feeding America does an assessment. And so they said, okay, the reason we think it dropped was because of all the money that came in, government and people donating, and brought down the levels of food insecurity, which was great. We all cheered that. Now it's gone back up, and their analysis is that it's not a single cause, but it's primarily due to inflation, which matches the reality that I see on the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes an organization, well-meaning, and you have the paper pushers who are behind the scenes and they're coming up with an analysis of, you know, oh, the numbers show that it's this and this and this. And you're like, well, here, I'm on the ground and I'm talking to people who are battling this every day. And they say it's different in their lives because of this, this, and this.
Yeah.
But I think they're right. And it's really challenging, you know, because in our world, we've transitioned so much to people eating out. You even see our grocery stores. They have deli set up, you know, for mm-hmm. sandwiches. They pre-made salads, all that kind of stuff. We are a convenience society. We go to the grocery store. It's not typically we're going to go in there and buy a bunch of food. I mean, while we're in there, but hey, I'm going to pick up some sandwiches for tonight, already pre-made stuff, yep. just because we tend to do what's easier. You know how many companies have started up that do the prepaid meals, and you get there and you get a week thing, and I mean, they're making a killing.
Yeah.
So we're putting a lot of money into food and different kinds, but there's so many people that simply do not have those options. And so they turn to cheaper, more affordable, but less nutritious value. And so you tend to eat more boxed items, shelf-stable items that have a lot of additives and preservatives and high fat and carbohydrate content. And when you bring them home to families, you know, you got growing kids, that's not, you know, you wish you had the fresh produce.
Yeah.
You wish you had the gallons of milk. You wish you had the fresh eggs. And it's just, and now we see it's this year, those are the numbers we're going to be going with. We have a greater burden for people, especially in rural areas, especially people of color. It's just a never ending fight. And I'm under no illusion that we're ever going to solve the problem of hunger. I believe we're always going to have the poor with us. I've expressed this to people at Feeding America. You know, they say they're in a fight to end hunger, and I value that. I appreciate that. But realistically speaking, we're never going to do it. Now, that does not mean we don't fight like we're going to do it.
Yeah.
We do fight, whether I can alleviate one person's hunger or, you know, 100,000 people's hunger, we're going to fight. We're in it to win it. But we just know that it's an ongoing challenge. And what I have to do as a leader of the organization is prevent our staff from saying, look, we're just wasting it. We're spinning our wheels. We're never going to make any progress. They have to see a bigger picture about it's a daily fight. We have to understand that the win is not solving all hunger problems. The win is alleviating the child from the childhood trauma, having a child or a person who is senior not go to bed starving and hopeless for tomorrow about where their next meal comes from. So our victories are small, but very real and very meaningful. And that's where we have to get our understanding of our value and what we're doing. So even though the large numbers may increase at times, we've had tons of victories on the individual level with children and families and seniors, and that we have to draw our encouragement and joy from that.
Keep doing your thing, my man. This is Bite by Bite. Mike Coleman, Tony Curry here on Tony Curry Radio.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.